We've been talking this past few messages here. We've been discussing a NASCAR in the sermon series, and we're using the parallels and everything from NASCAR. So I'm going to continue that theme, and we're going to be talking about NASCAR and racing tonight. Other sports may have larger fan bases, but racing enthusiasts may be the most loyal. So we're going to look at some stats here. In NASCAR, in comparison with other sports, it is the fastest growing sport in the United States. It's got the fastest growing fan base, and it's increasing at the highest rate. According to Nielsen data, in 1999, the auto racing series was the second most watched sport. It's second only to the NFL. And that's a lot of you, a lot of people make fun of the NASCAR people and the NASCAR fans, but it actually makes more money than most of the other major sports. And NASCAR fans, they come from all regions, income levels, and demographics. One third of all adult Americans are NASCAR fans, and that figure is also growing. And surprisingly, 40% of NASCAR fans are women. That's also the biggest, other than specific women's sports, it has the highest amount of fans that are women than most of the other major sports. It's also the fastest growing sport among minorities. That may also come as a surprise, since there's only a couple racial minorities that actually race the cars. You've had a guy here and there, and then you have Juan Pablo Montoya. Some of you may have heard of him. He won a race, I think, last year. But it's kind of strange. A lot of other sports have a lot more minorities that play them than NASCAR. But it's the fastest growing sport among the minorities. And did you know the Daytona 500? If you were here with us last week, you got to watch this. It's the second most watched sport event all year. The only thing bigger than the Daytona 500 is the Super Bowl. The Daytona 500 is bigger than the World Series. It's bigger than the NBA Finals. Everything but the Super Bowl. NASCAR's 75 million fans are three times more likely to buy the sponsor's products than to buy another product. So when they're going through the store, they're shopping through, they associate it with, if they're a NASCAR fan and they associate that product with NASCAR, they're three times more likely to buy it over a competitor. You might be a NASCAR redneck if your favorite NASCAR souvenir was a direct result of a crash in turn three. You might be a NASCAR redneck if you can remember every NASCAR driver and their car number, but can't remember how old your children are. You might be a NASCAR redneck if your pet nickname for your wife is Lugnut. You might be a NASCAR redneck if you can change a tire faster than you can change a diaper. And you might be a NASCAR redneck. Remember this. It goes along with the first fact about the 75 million fans buying the product. You might be a NASCAR redneck if you think the most effective form of advertising is on the side of a car going 200 miles per hour, going around and around and around. And as I heard in one sermon, basically when you're watching the NASCAR races, it's like watching 43 billboards for however long the race is. You're basically watching 43 advertisers for 3 hours or however long the race may be. And some of that advertising is what we're going to be focusing on and looking on tonight. In NASCAR racing, every car, or nearly every car, has a sponsor. If you don't have a sponsor, you're pretty much out of luck, because you don't have very much funds behind you. You're probably not going to have a committed team, crew chief. You're not going to be getting much of the money. And the sponsors are the people who supply the resources to run the race. Often they'll supply the car, the engine, the tires. They'll pay your pit crew. They pay your crew chief. Basically, that's where all the money is made and comes from. A lot more money is spent by the sponsors than for actually even winning the race. And the race car driver has given his allegiance back to that sponsor. So what's he go around all year? Do all the different sites. I remember one time when Bill Elliott was racing, back when he was even actually good, I happened to run into him at the Williamston McDonald's. He was heading, I think, to Darlington on his way down there, and part of their deal with the sponsors, we give you all this money and you go around and you promote at our different businesses. If it's Carl Edwards, he goes around to the Office Depot, he meets with potential business customers. Basically, they use him as a pawn to make a lot of business deals. And because he's getting all the money, he gives his allegiance to the sponsor. What's the first thing he does when the race is over? If he's got a Coca-Cola sponsor, what's he do? He gets out of that car, first thing he does, washes down a Coca-Cola. Big time, right there in the camera, before he even interviews, he's drinking his Coke, he's holding it during the interview. And he believes in, and he has a loyalty to the company that's invested in him. And how do you know who the sponsor of even any given driver is? Anybody want to say? How do you know who the sponsor is when you're watching the race?
It's on their
hood. That's right. Their names are plastered all over the outside of the race car. So, first, before we get into the deeper parts of the sermon, I'm going to do a little test. I've done some of my own painting to some of the cars. And we're going to see, just by looking at the cars, especially for some of you NASCAR fans, hopefully you'll be able to recognize this, and be able to pick out how well their advertising is working. So we're going to be looking for the sponsor, the vehicle manufacturer he drives for, whether it's Chevy, Toyota, Ford. So we're going to take a look at that and see what you can do. All right, here's our first car. You probably recognize this. This is a four-time champion's car. Anybody know whose car this is?
Jeff Gordon.
Jeff Gordon. All right. Now, what's missing from his car? His primary sponsor. Be right there on his hood, his quarter panel, on the back.
DuPont.
So right there, we know it's working. Look at another car. This was the last 2 years' champion? Anybody recognize this car other than the paint job? Who the driver is? The Lowe's car.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Johnson. All right. So it's working. What kind of car does he drive?
Chevrolet.
That's exactly right. They look a little bit different without their big old sponsors on there. Anybody know this guy?
Tony Stewart.
He's probably got the biggest personality in NASCAR. You either love him or you hate him. Most people hate him. And anybody know his sponsor? Be hard to mess this one up. Let me think about the colors.
Home Depot.
Home Depot. All right, this one may be a little more obscure. This is for one particular fan in the audience. This is the Carl Edwards vehicle. Anybody know his sponsor? I actually might have just mentioned it a minute ago. Office Depot. Anybody know his other sponsor? He's got another major sponsor also on his hood. An insurance company. It's got a duck or a domesticated goose. Aflac. See, the advertising, even when you didn't know it on the car, you know the commercial by the association. Yep, he's got the Office Depot, drives this Ford Fusion. Next, this guy has been pretty well known. His car looks totally awful this year. This is quite a paint job that we've given him. He's pretty well known. His dad was pretty well known. Anybody want to guess whose car this is? Dale Earnhardt Jr. And anybody want to go as far and know his number? I know somebody knows.
88.
And any of his sponsors? AMP. and National Guard. That's pretty good. Definitely beats his old sponsor, but nobody knows what it is. But I can bet by the end of this year, the AMP energy drink will have big time increased revenue, if not from selling their drink, just from selling their merchandising. I think you're getting the point here with all the different sponsors, and that really makes up their outfits, what they wear, everything they do. Look in the background. It's completely full of NASCAR, DirecTV, this, that, buy this, everything. The whole race from beginning to end is just advertising. And that's going to bring us into the sermon. We've gone through and looked at the cars and the different outfits. You get the association, you're understanding the sponsorship. Now we're going to give you some facts about sponsoring a NASCAR stock car. We're going to talk about the primary sponsor. That would be on Jeff Gordon here. That's his big DuPont, the biggest sponsor. You get your name on the hood for just about every race. You get it on the back, usually on the back corner panel. You get it on the back of the car. You get it everywhere that you actually can see it when you're watching a race. Not all these little dinky ones all around the wheels and all that. But to be a primary sponsor, depending on how well known you are, how good of a driver you are, how likely to win you are, it's somewhere in the range of $6 million to $25 million a year that the company puts up just to have their name on that hood so you can watch. And that's, like we said that earlier, that's where most of the drivers actually make their money. That's where the pit crews get paid. That's where the driver gets paid. The actual winning the money is just a drop in the bucket. You see some of these races, they only win, I say only, but it's like $150,000. That's great for the rest of us, but compared to they're putting up $15 million, it's just a small, meager amount. That pays for, basically just pays you for that race of transporting your car, the fuel, the tires, all that. Now we're going to take a look at this. Have you ever wondered about these small decals right there? Those are known as minor associate sponsors. To be one of those, they have that little 3x5 little decal on there, size of an index card. They're going to put up $200,000 to $1 million. $200,000 is the minimum amount for any of those that you see that somebody pays for that little thing. You can't even see it. You can't see it at the race, barely. You rarely can pick it out on TV, but $200,000 to $1 million a year. Just to have that on there, and so you can associate it, basically. You're going to have maybe the prop of Jeff Gordon at your little store and say, Jeff Gordon uses 3M with just a little, some kind of advertising, but that's the money they're putting up just to get on there so they can use his name and the team's name. And a little bit bigger up, they're called the Major Associates. That's for him, it's going to be the Pepsi and the Nicorette that's at the back. Two unlikely associated sponsors, I think. With those, with the Major Associate, you usually get you're going to get your name on the hood of a car for a race or two. Usually it's one primary race that you're going to have yours there instead of the DuPont on this vehicle. But they're going to put up anywhere, again, the minimum $500,000 to $5 million if you're big, well-known, just to have your name on a car. And you may be wondering where all this is heading and what it has to do with the message. And I'm not talking about the time in the Gospel of Luke when Peter spun out Paul in the Bethlehem 500. We're not talking about Judas when he was trying to get sponsorships to get some extra money for the caravan. Or when we're not talking about when Jesus raised the disciples around the Sea of Galilee. Anything like this. You don't have to pray five times a day towards a Daytona Raceway. But what we are going to talk about is who's your sponsor? That's where all of this is going. What do people see in you? And it's not that you're walking around with endorsements. I'm endorsed by Jesus Christ. And you're walking around with a cross and numbers on your back everywhere you go. But what do people see of you? Do they want to know, who is that guy's sponsor? In NASCAR, the vehicles might run around the track somewhere 100, 200, 250 times, depending on the size and the miles of the track, before they finish. But how often do you think they make it through a race without ever stopping? That's right, they don't make it one time without stopping. They're not built to run the whole race without pulling into their pit and having the tires changed, filling up on gas, adjusting, making the little adjustments you hear about. In order to finish the race, each competitor needs to submit to the help from his crew. And the way NASCAR works is they promote a team approach to individual success. And though everybody's focus and loyalty is with the driver, the fans realize that racing is a team sport. And the car and the driver are an extension of a whole entire team. It's got the car owner, the crew chief, the pit crew, the mechanics, the sponsors, the people who do the test in the wind tunnels and all this kind of thing. It all makes up one large team that's just trying to win. And the main point of winning, for the individual driver, it might be for the reputation and for getting the cup, but the point for the team and the team owner is to get the bigger sponsorships. In a race, that's why they got a pit crew. And for us Christians, that's why we got the church. The church is all about helping, and as Paul puts it, is to continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, from Colossians 1:23. Coming to church and being involved with our team here, it surrounds us with support. We get encouragement. We get guidance. We're all a part of the team. We're not looking to go at it alone. We can't win at it alone. And so all the people here are a part for helping us be individually successful in our Christian story. In auto racing, you have the qualifying before the race. And if your performance is good enough, the better you qualify, the farther up you start on the starting line. But for us personally, the Bible tells us when we qualify, we're not good enough. We don't have what it takes because we don't have it in our own ability. Romans 3:23, a lot of you will recognize this verse, says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The good news is that God wants us to win the race and enter into His presence. And He so much wants us to accomplish it that He has made a way for us to qualify. In Colossians 1:12 it says, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light." So there again, we're talking about Him qualifying us. He qualifies us when we accept Jesus into the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom. So we're talking about the gospel of the kingdom there. People from all walks of life have realized that without God, their lives can seem like the meaningless run around an endless track. But when God steps in, they begin to see the finish line and the prospect of finishing the race. In the same way, it's not enough for you and I just to decide I want to be a Christian. We want to be Christians. We have to allow God to continually work on us and let Him fine-tune us, make adjustments, allow Him to make adjustments to help us win. In everybody's spiritual journey, we're all moving at a different speed. Sometimes you might feel like you're going in circles. It might seem dangerous. You might feel like you're out of the race. But as people make their way toward God, we got to decide whether are we going to be the fuel, or are we going to be the speed bumps? And we have to take a look what we're advertising ourselves. What do the people see in us, and what is our church advertising? When somebody sees you, do they say, "I wonder what church they go to because of the way you act impresses them, or is it because of the other way?" I know I've run into that before where I've had some mean, nasty, snarly customers on my route who I automatically say, "I wonder what church they go to," and it's not because I want to go there. It's because I'm not impressed. And I got a couple more verses. In 1 Timothy it says, "Let no one look down on you, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself as an example of those who believe. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them, so that your progress may be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation for yourself and for those who hear you." So you got there, you got the way you talk, the way you act, the way you show your love, what people see, your faith, if you are what you say, and the purity. And I like how it says to take pains and be absorbed in them. When I think of being absorbed, I think about the, you know, you have spilled something on your kitchen floor, and what do? You get either a dish rag or you might get a paper towel. It absorbs that up, and it says that too. We're supposed to absorb those characteristics and pay close attention to them. And then I like how it ends. You don't just ensure salvation for yourself. It says, and for those who hear you. You're making it evident to them, and that can bring somebody to God. That can bring somebody to church. In Hebrews, it says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with the endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross." When we get to the finish line one day, eventually, when we're standing there in the kingdom, he's going to be standing there and he's going to be holding the cup for us. And it's going to be evident to everyone then that you ran the race and you were on this team. You're not going to be just, to him, you're not just the, you know, the background pit crew person that maybe goes and gets the Gatorade. Everybody has a significance. Everybody has importance. I like how it says, with the cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance, every obstacle. So maybe you got that flat tire, you feel like. You got an engine failure or something, but he wants you to get back in the race, run it with endurance, and fix your eyes on Jesus. So who's our sponsor? Well, we got a pretty good sponsor. And he's more than capable of working in all of our lives. He can change your heart, he can change your mind, and your soul. He can take you apart, he can put you back together again. And he gives us a hope and a future that we wouldn't have without him. So who's your sponsor? So that's the message I want you to go.